Take me now, baby, here as I am.
Our band is quite simple. We don't have any cues, any lighting cues. I like having the freedom to improvise, to adjust the night, to be able to freely interact with the people, and sometimes change horses mid-show, which might mean we're about to do one song and I decide the atmosphere isn't right for that song. Let's do this song. You know, I always feel that no matter how many times you sing a song, or even if we do something specific like horses, that for a lot of people, it might be the first time they've heard these songs or seen us live, and you always have to play to those people. So I don't go on the stage expecting anything. I go on stage expecting that I'll have to, as I said, earn a certain place with the people. I go on stage hoping that we together can do something transformative.
My sins, my own, they belong to me. Me. People say, beware.
I've seen you play a lot, and every single time I come away feeling like, I don't know, buoyed in a way that I haven't with other artists. And I was thinking, like, how did she do this every single time? But I suppose that's interesting that every time, you know, this might be the first time you play to this audience.
No, I think the magic is there, and it's my job to extract it, because the people bring with them their magic. There's magic to be claimed by us all. We just have to, you know, be open and dip in and get it. I think that it's there in the atmosphere, and we all have to work to get it. Also, you know, sometimes anything can happen. I might, because of the heat or, you know, because of jet lag or any kind of thing, say I lose some of my energy midstream, and it's the people who give you the energy to keep going and sometimes surpass yourself. To me, the success of a great concert is when we all do our work, because the collaborative aspect between the band, the crew, the technological aspects, and the people, we have to make it all work together. The lion's share of my efforts are usually in writing, and I'm by myself. It's a very solitary experience, and I'm quite lucky because I spend so much time on my own in a solitary act, but then I am also able to enter such a collaborative world. It's complete collaboration.
I guess is part of it then a balance, you know, making sure you have enough time alone and enough time collaborating and performing to keep both fresh, I guess.
Yes. When I'm performing, I try to monitor my energy. I mean, because I'll be 70 this December, so, I mean, I still have a lot of energy, but perhaps not the intense physical energy I had at another time in my life. When I'm on the road, I focus on my performance. That's where the lion's share of my energy goes. When I was, I don't know, 22, it's in 1969, I was in Paris, and with my sister, we had saved up our money, and we didn't have much money, but we were going to Paris for the first time. That's when Brian Jones died, and Brian Jones was my favorite Rolling Stone. The Rolling Stones did a massive concert in Hyde Park in memory of Brian Jones. We didn't have the money to go to London or to attend, but we read about it in all the newspapers, and I remember all the pictures. So I always associate Hyde Park with remembrance. And, you know, I've studied about Hyde Park. Hyde Park has quite a history. And it, you know, the suffragettes met there. There's been many anti-war gatherings in Hyde Park. And also I always love going, you know, adjacent to it, going to Kensington Gardens to visit the Peter Pan statue. I can go early and go visit Peter Pan and then we'll do our concert. I love life, you know. I mean, that might sound like such a simple statement or cliche or something, but I do love life. I'm 70 years old. I hope I live till I'm 100. I'm happy to be a mother. I love my children. And I have a lot to live for. No matter how bad things are in the world, I know that the negative things that are happening in the world, they're not ours. They're not mine. There's so much corruptness in the world. There's so much greed, the destruction of our environment, the rise of extremism. There's many, many things to feel angry about or to feel defeated by. But on the other hand, I wake up every day just so happy because of the work that other people are doing, inspired by what people are doing or what they've done. I've had a lot of disappointment and tragedy in my life. Those things did not take me down.
Some strange music draws me in, makes me come on like some heroin.
I've seen you talking about the importance of your working on your inner self. Is that where a loss of your strength comes from?
Yes, all of that's important, but everything, the kind of food that we eat, taking care of our teeth, these things seem so elemental, but they make us feel better if we take care of our teeth, if we don't eat too much sugar, don't eat too much salt, if we exercise a certain amount, if we stay enthusiastic about learning, almost above all, stay in contact with gratitude, because it's very, very easy to feel angry. But what we have to do is to keep the good things even more apparent. If the exterior world is going to seem imbalanced and more bad than good, we have to work harder and harder to make sure our internal balance is higher in the good column. My favorite mantra is from a Jimi Hendrix song, and it's one little line, "Hooray, I wake from yesterday."
Okay.
I'll talk to myself. I'll scold myself. And I think of it, if I find myself in a negative swirl, I try to like lift myself up and step away from it.
Is giving yourself the time to do that and creating the space for that, is that important?
One can say you can create a space for it, or one can say it just becomes a part of your personality. There's this little book called The Alchemist. It's a story of a shepherd boy, his hopes and dreams and his trials and tribulations. But he's inherently good. Somewhere in the book, it says that the universe conspired to help the shepherd boy because the shepherd boy maintained the language of enthusiasm.